Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern. My name is Ray Hewart, and guess what? I brought the amazing Chad Orzeszewski back on the show, and we are continuing this conversation about AI. I want to give you some specifics, get into the nitty-gritty. The assumption is that while the fear might still exist, you maybe dabbled just a tad. It's been a few days since we gave you that challenge to at least explore us paying for you to have a personal assistant that does all or at least a lot of the thinking for you. We'll be right back. You will need coffee for this one because, you know, it's going to be epic. Everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show, streaming on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. Of course, also an episode on Teach Better Talk podcast. If you're not following us on all those platforms and you are an active user, please make sure you connect with our community. We kind of love to celebrate that our community is a little bit different on every platform, depending on what people enjoy. And we'd love to have you a part of every single bubble of the Teach Better family. For those of you who maybe didn't catch the show that we had on January 19th, we have the one and only Chad Orzeszewski with us talking AI again. Chad, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ray. It's awesome to be back, as promised.
Yeah, thank you. I did have you commit at the end of the episode that you were going to do another one. And I knew the moment we signed off, you were like, oh gosh, how are we going to do this?
Yeah, that's right. I don't think you had too hard of a time getting a hold of me.
Well, we talk often, but you travel a lot. Like, you're constantly in school supporting so many different educators with different things. Obviously, mastery learning is a big part of what we do. But between our team, it's not easy to get people on camera in like a spot where they can have a conversation. So it's not always easy.
Yeah, hotel room backgrounds don't look the best on like camera all the time.
I have to say, though, you are really good at like answering your phone. Like, if I call or text you, I can get you within like 5 or 10 minutes, no matter what. I feel like we're always in connection in that way.
For sure. Always.
You know, for those of you who may not be connected to Chad, obviously I had him introduce himself earlier. I'm sure you're familiar with me because you just can't get rid of me on the show. Chad, if you want to take over the host job, then they could be sick of you and not sick of me.
I think you're doing too good of a job for me to even try, honestly.
I love when you lie to me, buddy. It's the best. Guys, Chad is the CEO, co-founder of the Teach Better team, my favorite boss of all time. And I don't really need an intro. I think you're pretty cool. Chad is the one on the team that I get to argue with the most. And we kind of have our loving relationship in that regard, don't you think?
I absolutely agree. That's sort of how we function, I think, to find the best outcome, right? Totally. Like, I think that those times when we're dissenting or disagreeing, it's all for the betterment of whatever we're trying to achieve. So wherever we end up is better than we would have been if we didn't have the argument, right? So I'm always okay with that.
Totally. I always joke, you know, it's fun to have a teacher bestie, but if your teacher bestie only agrees with you, then they're just kind of a cheerleader and not somebody who's allowing you to grow. Chad and I will duke it out and have these great educational conversations, both come out better for it, and then be like, all right, love you. See you later. Hope you have a good day.
That is accurate. That is accurate.
It's the best. You know, Chad, obviously we have a ton to talk about, so I kind of want to dive in, even though we could kind of goof off the whole time, but then Jeff Gargis would be upset.
It's okay.
Let him be upset. Last conversation we had was on AI. We focused on the fears of what AI is. And I mean, it's new, but it's also been around for a bit and, you know, it's spooky. We also talked about the value of planning with AI, but we didn't really get into specific. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to kind of transition there. Can you give us big picture, especially for maybe our community here that didn't watch our episode on January 19th yet, I encourage you all to go back and check out that discussion we had. It was about a half an hour of just good challenges and reminders related to AI. But as far as planning with AI, what are some things that our community here should keep in mind? And then we'll get into some specifics.
Yeah. So I think one of the big things we talked about on the previous session that I would like everyone to kind of take away from that is that use it to get over those mental blocks that you have in the planning process, whether you're trying to create a lesson or learning targets or break down a standard. Like, use it as a thought partner so that you can start the process and the work that's important. And then in addition to that, whether it's what are my objectives for tomorrow? What are five ideas we can do this week to teach this concept? In addition to that, when I think another thing we articulated previously was that you have to be the expert in the room because no one is checking if AI is correct or not. So you need to use your expertise and your professionalism to look at whatever it gives you and then evaluate that. Pick what you want to use, forget what you don't, and then move on. But I think from a planning perspective, it's a really, really powerful tool. Or especially if you're the only teacher in your grade level or subject, or you're in a smaller district and you don't have planning partners, this can be your planning partner. And I think that's something that we kind of hit home in our last discussion. But I think the other big thing we talked about was just giving it a try, being knowledgeable about what it can and can't do so that it's there if you need it. Not even necessarily saying that you have to use it, but I think that's where that challenge really came in. I think it was really appropriate to just try it so you know that it's there. And I was reflecting on that conversation after we had it. And one of the things I thought was funny is that I've never had a teacher try AI in any form, ChatGPT, Google Bard, like whatever it was, and be like, this is okay. Like I've never had a teacher be like mediocre about every single time, I kid you not, they're like, holy moly, I didn't know it could do this, right? Like no matter what the question is, they're always like, how did it do that? That's amazing. That's so cool. And it's like, once you move from fear to like that fascination, it's like a whole new shift in how you view that tool. And that's what it is. It's a tool. It's like the equivalent, in my opinion, of like before the mechanical drill was created, there was hand crank drills where you had to like whatever, like old woodworking people. This is a horrible example to use on a technology podcast.
I just like that you're moving your arms a lot, and like half our community is going to be listening to an episode not seeing the funny hand movements you're doing.
You're not seeing the amusing hand motions I'm making. But then someone goes, hey, I have this power drill that I can give you that does 10 times the work in half the time. And then you being like, no, that's okay. I'm going to stick to my hand crank drill. I don't need this. This is the same thing that's happening right now with technology, in my opinion. You can still plan using your paper and pencil if you want. That's perfectly fine. You can still use your Google Docs and your templates and your old binders. Like all of that's still fine. But at least know what tools are out there to maybe make your life a little easier.
Yeah, I love that focus, that this is a time-saving tool. We want to teach you to use it strategically. That's really important. You know, Chad, one thing that we discussed that we wanted to focus on in this episode was how we can use AI in lesson planning, and really specifically in the grid method, giving our community here some things to consider. And you just touched on something I thought was really important earlier, which was the importance of us being the experts. So we're going to transition here, and then we're going to get into this conversation. Hey everyone, welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show. We are in our team talk section, which you know we have every single episode to give you some food for thought, get you some educational information, and hopefully get you thinking as you head into the day. Chad, one of the things I really appreciated you bringing up early in this conversation was the value of educators being the experts. And some educators might think, oh my gosh, like, what do I know? AI is going to know more than me. Everything from AI is going to be great. But you have to remember that AI doesn't have all the context. You have to give AI as much context as possible. And the perfect example of this is something funny that I did with educators last week, which was allow them to develop mastery questions by giving a little bit of a prompt saying that they wanted a specific number of mastery questions related to a standard. And then they posted the standard below, pressed enter to see what they would get. And they got so many questions. Truly, I think it curated 10 to 20, I think is what they asked for. And one of the teacher raised their hand and said, hey, listen, this is great, but my third grade students have no idea what these questions mean. Well, guess what? That's a perfect time to give AI more context, more feedback. The next prompt that you can give as the expert teacher is to say, okay, this information's good, but how can I phrase this appropriately so a third grader can understand it? And then allow those questions to regenerate. So the biggest focus of today, Chad, that I want to throw at you is how can we use AI in planning to help us with that specific kind of like adaptability phase where educators are still the experts, but they're saving time by using this resource?
Yeah. While we're doing this work with teachers, I have them, and we've even talked on the team about integrating this into our workshops and our training, because it was this giant elephant in the room that wasn't inherently part of the training when we designed it. But now to ignore it is a disservice to the teachers we're working with. So now when we're working on building grids or breaking down standards or creating mastery questions, we're showing teachers these tools and going, if you're having a hard time, maybe use ChatGPT, maybe use Google Bard, maybe use Magix, like whatever those things are. So for me, I think you hit the nail on the head about prompting. We do a ton of work with depth of knowledge, and I've been amazed at how well AI of all sorts understands what DOK actually is. So a lot of times teachers will go, I don't have any trouble coming up with the vocab questions in the DOK level 1 and 2. Explain how this happened. What's the vocabulary? But I'm not very good at coming up with like the higher level thinking questions. So oftentimes I'll go, great, put it into ChatGPT and go, hey, give me 10 questions that compare and contrast these two things. And it'll spit out this bank of questions that they can use. And here's how, and oftentimes, if I'm being honest, you mentioned mastery questions. And this is sort of like the thing that no one thinks we know, but we know, is a lot of times people skirt those and because they want to start working directly on the grid. They're like, I'm not going to really put it together. You're laughing because you did it too. Don't lie. But
oh, I totally skipped this step. And when educators want to, I'm like, just do it. Just do it.
Yeah,
just
go to right. The
next. It's hard. It's tedious. It's like, this is the part that for me, I'm like, I'd rather like.
And like, the value of that work doesn't show up till later either. Right.
Like, and then it bites you in the butt. It totally bites you in the butt when you skip it. Like you have to go back anyway because it bites you in the butt. You're right.
So using that as an example, though, if they can have a bank of 10, if they can have a bank of 20 questions that they whittle down to 10 or 15 high quality questions that measure a specific target in their mastery progression or grid at a specific DOK level, you've now circumvented all the time that they wanted to skip anyway. But now they have something. And here's the cool part. You can reciprocate and recycle those questions throughout your instruction and interaction with students. So I can now take this list of 10 questions that AI has generated. I can make a do now for the day 3 intro lesson. I can make a 5-point quiz for the end of level check. I can make an exit slip for box 1, box 3, and box 4. You know, like now.
For me, I love to use those questions and like have AI generate the most common mistakes with my specific content. And then those are the questions I use in my conferences because I want to get them to like make a mistake in front of me. You know what I mean?
And to be honest, the number one thing I have teachers that teachers have issue with when I'm like coaching and we're working with them is knowing what the intended outcome of an activity was supposed to be. Right. Like, they'll be like, did you do the quiz versus did you know the three things I need you to know from the lesson that the quiz told me you knew, right? Like those are two very different things. And a lot of times the reason that that mystery is there is because of the logistics that exist within creating those components. So oftentimes we'll go, here's my lesson. I'm going to come up with four random questions that may or may not align or at the level that they need to, but I think it'll work. And as long as you do the quiz, you're ready for the next box or the next step in your mastery progression. Well, but here's the problem. If I'm assessing you too low, I could be letting you move on before you're actually ready in a mastery-based system like the GRID method. If the questions are too high or too complex or don't align with the learning opportunity, now I'm getting a false negative. So you might be ready to continue learning, but the answer that you're giving me is appropriate, but it's not answering the question because it's too high of a level. So if that same question was a level above on the progression, it might be perfect, right? So using AI to circumvent like the nitty gritty nuts and bolts of the work, I think can be a great way for then you to be the expert, right? And go, here's the question I need. That's exactly why I wanted you to do this activity. But then to your point, those conferences become even more critical. I would always know if a student was at a certain step in their grid or progression, what I wanted out of that step. And I was really good at this because that's like the whole point. But when teachers are first starting this, they kind of revert to the traditional mindset of you did the exit slip, you're good. But something that you can do that's really powerful is the action or the artifact of the assessment isn't the important. It's the student's ability to articulate their knowledge that represents that's important. So if you know what the outcome is based on a really good question, whether AI generated it or not, you can now verbally go, can you just explain this thing to me real quick? Or can you just do this? And you're going to know real quick if they're ready to continue learning or not.
Well, and I love that reminder because my favorite part of using the GRID method was having the time to conference with students because I loved whether the conference was like 2 seconds or 2 minutes, I loved being able to celebrate the wins with them, like one-on-one or in small groups. And I like to have those strategic questions because more often than not, the misconception was not something that we couldn't solve within that moment. So I loved being able to have that follow-up conversation and to have those resources of exactly what I want to get out of the conversation helped facilitate that magically. That's awesome. I think that there's so many possibilities here with planning because we didn't even touch on, I think we did last episode maybe, but or last show we had, but gosh, like the value of like, I need a hands-on activity in the grid. I have a lot of like paper pencil activities, yeah. Right? Yeah. Like I just need like a different medium and I would spend literally I've done it. I want to say I won't do it anymore, but you know, I'm only human, but I've spent so much time on Teachers Pay Teachers finding the perfect, like, task card activity when now I can have AI generate exactly what I need. I can throw those questions in a table, cut them out and be done. Like, I'm not saying that there's not magic in having like the fancy stuff, but for me, when I provided students with an activity, I really only required like half of it to be done. And the rest would be if they wanted to go back. But now I can give them just such robust practice that essentially, I don't have to recreate the wheel every time they want more practice, which I really like. It's just easier.
I mean, yeah, for math teachers, this should be a godsend. Make 50 questions that illustrate this process, right? And it will spit out, copy and paste this things. Rubric design for English teachers or any other projects. It will literally create a table for you that would normally take you an hour or two to probably put together of your time on a weekend before you tell them to write an essay or write a paper or a project. Like, And it's not going to be perfect, but like it's going to do a lot of that legwork for you. So I think like how you implement this is limitless, right? Like we can sit here and talk for 4 more hours and we wouldn't run into the end of how you can use this. And so I think a big takeaway is find your biggest weakness and use this to help. Like that, yes. Like to me, know where your weaknesses are, know where your biggest struggles from a planning standpoint are. Use this as a crutch, as a support to help you overcome your weakest areas of planning or instructional execution.
So good. I want to encourage everyone here to feel free to reach out to Chad as obviously a co-founder, CEO, the man in charge of the Teach Better team. He keeps busy, but he is absolutely accessible for all of you, not only to ask questions in direct messages or via email, but also if you're having these conversations in your buildings, like feel free to bring us in person or virtually to help facilitate these conversations. They're tough conversations. They're scary. Sometimes it's nice to be as in a small or larger group, like walked through a series of practice elements with this. We do this all the time, friends. Just reach out. There's no harm in asking. And if we can make it happen, we will. So we want to thank you so much for tuning into the Teach Better Today morning show. Chad, thank you so much for joining me again on the show. I don't know when this is happening again, but hopefully sometime soon. And we just want to celebrate all of you out there doing the incredible work of supporting students and hopefully getting your time back so that you can find some balance in this incredible profession. So thanks so much, friends. Chad, thanks again for joining me. Always a good time. Hey, Teach Better community, thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.